Guys, this is Brooklyn and Abroad, and welcome to another episode of the Just Book It podcast and the journey to financial freedom. Every month, I touch upon one topic that's going to help you get closer to your goal, living your best life, traveling the world, and of course, building generational wealth. In January, I talked about all about setting goals. February was about tracking your spending. March was about manifesting success. April was about the power of the side hustle. And May, we're going to be talking all about lowering your taxable income. Now, lowering your taxable income is what every rich person does to claim less income. That way you're not taxed on that income. I'm going to show you a quick picture. This is just from NerdWallet. I just Googled taxable income US brackets. This is an example, so don't take this with like the be all end all. And I'm going to attach the picture here on the side so that we can kind of go through it together. Basically, if you make, now I don't know if this is like hard numbers or not, but this gives you an idea of what lowering your taxable income can help you with. So if you earn between $0 to $11,000 a year, you are taxed at a 10% rate. So that means that from that $11,000, 10% of $11,000 is $1,100. So if you make $11,000, you will be taxed $1,100 regardless because you made that income. If you make between $11,000 and $44,725, you'll be taxed at 12%. I'm actually not good with like that hard math. So 44,725 times 0.12 is 5,000. So you are now, so say regardless if you make 12,000, which is just above that 11,000, or say you make that 44,000, you'll be taxed about $4,000 more. So if you're kind of like just over that hump of like $11,000 to $12,000, you're now being taxed an extra 2% on the extra thousand that you made. So if we do that math, 2% of 1,000, it's $20. Okay, it doesn't seem like a lot for like these smaller numbers, but that could get pretty big when you go from like the $100,000 to $105,000, if that makes sense. If you make over $44,725 to $50,000, you will be taxed 22%. So that means if you make $44,724, you'll be taxed at 12%. If you make $44,725, you are now being taxed an extra 10% on top of that. So while looking at this picture, you can see that there are brackets. You want to kind of stay in the middle of those brackets because you don't want to be in the threshold where you're now just making it and now you're spending an extra 10% of your income on taxes. When you're kind of just making the same as if you were in that 11%, 10%, 2% bracket. Every state, I'm pretty sure, has a different bracket. So there's like New York State income tax, and there's federal income. There's like a ton of different things. I suggest getting an accountant if your taxes are a little more intense. You know, if you invest, if you have a small business, if you've worked a ton of W-2 jobs, whatever the case may be, I think it's always beneficial to have an accountant in your back pocket because situations like this, I'd rather trust somebody else than trust myself on TurboTax, like pressing the wrong button, and who knows what that could cause. This is like the crux of what our conversation is going to be about. How to lower that taxable income so that say I do make 50, I'm going to keep the picture here. Say I do make that $50,000. How can I lower that taxable income to make it seem like I'm not making 50K, instead I'm making 30K? That way I'm right in that middle of that threshold and only taxed on 12% rather than 22%. I'm gonna add these to the caption as well, but there are three tax deferred options that you can start putting your money in that does not count towards your investments, towards your income. The first one is a Roth IRA account. The Roth IRA account is a retirement-based savings account that you can put income on the side, and you are going to not count that as income because that's money that you're putting away, that you're putting to the side. So every year they actually up the limit. So I think when I first started investing, I think the limit was like 5K, then it went to 6K, then it went to 6.5K. In 2024, the limit is 7K, meaning that you can put up to $7,000 in this tax-free retirement account not pay taxes on it, and when you retire, you can take money out of that account tax-free. And that's a part of your income, but it's tax-free. You don't have to worry about paying tax on that income. So that is the first thing. The second thing is a 401k account. A 401k account, if you are a W-2 employee, if you work for a company, if you work for an organization, you should definitely ask your HR representative about this. A 401k account is an account that's similar to a Roth IRA account, but it helps you set up your retirement that comes directly from your employer's paycheck. The limit to this, similar to the Roth IRA, and this is just a common theme, the limit always increases every year. And I think that that's due to a few factors. I think that's due to inflation. I think that's due to helping people a little bit more, trying to lower their taxable income. So the limit for 2024 is $23,000. You can put up to $23,000 and not pay taxes on that. Insane. The last one is a 529 account. So I actually just Googled this. I've been Googling all of them just to make sure I have all the numbers right. But this is something interesting that I actually did not know about. New in 2024, you can roll assets from a 529 account into a beneficiary Roth IRA up to a lifetime of $35,000. 529 account is basically an account that helps you pay for that, anything that's related to your, it doesn't have to be your education. It could be anybody's education. It could be yourself. It could be your grandkids, it could be your kids, it could be your sister, it could be your mom, it could be anybody. You have to just have it all in that account. I haven't found exactly like the numbers online, but my accountant had said that you have a maximum of $5,000 a year that you can put into this account tax-free every single year. Now, there are some things too. Similar to how I mentioned you can roll things over, like you can roll your assets over from your 529 account to your Roth IRA account, you can do the same exact thing to other investment accounts that are tax-free. So for example, I moved jobs recently and I had X amount of money in my 401k account. I'm not just going to keep it in that 401k account. Instead, I'm going to put it into my Roth IRA account, my own account, because I feel like when you change employers, you just want to have all your money in one spot. I don't want my money in like 500 different areas since I'm not continually investing into that account anymore. I don't want that money to like disappear or something. It's just a thing. So let's add up all the numbers together, what the maximum number is to lower our taxable income. So just off the bat, we said the 529 is about $5,000 a year. We just saw that the Roth IRA account is $7,000 a year. Is there something else I'm missing? I know it's a 401k. Okay. 401k is $23,000 a year. So that is $35,000 of income that you will have earned. Of course, you're not using that income. That's the whole point of it. The point is to save for your retirement, to save for, you know, your plans after, you know, when you're a senior, when you're after, you know, done working. So this isn't money that you're using for yourself. It's like an investment in yourself. That's $35,000. So now let's see. Say I earn $50,000. Let's just continue with this nerd wallet image I'm going to keep here. I have the negative number. Okay. I just did like the reverse, but it's if I made $50,000 and I invested all of like the maximum contributions without getting the tax penalty, I could claim my income as $15,000. Of course, you have to assess, is $15,000 livable? Is that a livable wage? So like, of course, you don't have to max out everything. Maybe instead you could say, okay, I think I actually can only put in $16,000 in my 401k, which is what I did my first year, because you have to figure out your finances, you have to figure out what is that sweet spot, what can you do? And I calculate that at the beginning of every year. So you have to assess that on your own. But let's just say the $23,000 is the 401k max limit. I would divide that number by 12. So that's $1,900 invested that in every month. And then I would divide that by 2 again. That's $958 going towards each paycheck. That would mean that I would hit that number. I think right now I'm putting in like $800 per se. So that is contributing to my 401k limit. Next, how to make sure that you're actually doing this. So if you are worried that you're not going to be able to commit to this payment, commit to this, the beauty of the 401k is that it comes straight from your paycheck. So before you even get paid that money is already taken out, which is my favorite part and my biggest hack. So that is the biggest hack, to make sure that you're always leveraging that income and acting like you have a lower income, even though in reality you're doing all these investments on the side. For me personally, with my side hustles, with my investments, and with my actual spending money, it's like the power trinity here. So you have this income that you're just making and putting it all into your investment accounts, tax deferred. Then you have your actual spending money that comes after those paychecks. And then you have the power of the side hustle, right? Then you have the side hustle money that's helping you bring in additional income. What I do is I schedule on a monthly basis for my Roth IRA account. I know the limit is $7,000 a year. So I just divide that by 12, and that's about $583 a month. So for me personally, I just take out on the 15th of every month, I just take out $600. I don't see that money. I'm not like actively saying, okay, I'm going to put this money in right now, because I know personally, if I did that, I probably wouldn't have done it. Like, you need to have that discipline in your life. Like, the schedule payment's going through, I'm doing it on a monthly cadence. This is what is happening. Cool. So that's gonna help you transform the way that you think about taxable income, because if you're not leveraging all of these accounts, if you're not doing that, you're at a really big disadvantage in life. Because say you start your career at 23, right? If we do the math, you retire at 60. I don't think people retire at 60 anymore, so let's just say 70. 70 times minus 23. That's 47 years. Okay? So now if we times that by the 23,000, that's $1 million that you would have been paying tax on, that I'm not paying tax on, taxes on. So those are things to think about. Next, I mentioned the power of the side hustle, and that unlocks a new level of lowering your taxable income. You just want to report to the IRS that you are making an income. If you have a business, I think you have about 3 years of losses, I think, before the IRS is like, all right, you can't just claim everything as a business expense for your entire life, because you could be making money, but then saying you have all these expenses. Like, you have to at least show that there's some income coming in, or else it's questionable. Like, you can't just claim everything as a write-off when that's not the case. I made $5,000 last year off of my social media, right? So we're starting the 5,000. I can write off the $2,000 camera that I bought. That's $3,000. Then I can write off my business expenses, other things that are related. So the scheduling platform I use, now I'm just making up numbers because I don't remember, but say that's $500. So instead of 5,000, I can now bring it down to 2,500. And I'm sure there's a ton more things that I had spoken about with my accountant last year already. So like that, the tax is already done for that. But this is a way that you can unlock that opportunity. So if you're an Uber driver, you can claim any car expense, you can claim gas, you can claim repairs, you can claim anything that relates to your job specifically. Another thing too, if doesn't apply to me per se, but if you have a two-bedroom place, if you live in an apartment with two bedrooms, one of them is your office, or if you live in a house with two bedrooms, one of them is your office, you have to have like a specific room for your office. You can actually deduct that square space off of your taxable income. So how you would do that is every year you pay like taxes on your house, right? So instead, you would calculate the percentage of what that room is and compare to the taxes. So say like the overall square footage of a place is $500, is 500, my bad, is 500. And then the square footage of your office is 100. So you divide that by 100, that's 5%. So say you have to pay, I don't know, 20,000. I'm just making up a big number. $20,000. Because 5% of the house is used towards my business, I can write off that 5% off of my taxable income. So 20,000, then you times that by 0.05. You now saved yourself $1,000 of taxable money. So not that you have to spend $1,000, but you just saved yourself from that, like whatever that bracket was that I was mentioning, whatever the tax bracket is for that specifically. You'd have to look that more up because I never done that myself. But don't want to like stray away too much from the main topics here, but some other things that you can do to lower your taxable income is if you are a student, that is something that you can write off. Actually, I don't know if the word is write off, to be completely fair. I think the word is more of you get tax benefits if you're paying your student loans or if there's interest accrued from the student loans. Which one was it? I know personally for me when I was in school, that was always a thing. Like, do you have the amount of money that you spent or that you paid for, or like whatever it was for your classes? So that's something I'd also want to consider too. Like, again, like I'm not a financial professional. I'm not somebody that can give you like all these hard concrete answers, especially because I went to school in New York State. I live in New York State. I don't know what the process is if you go to school in Delaware and you live in New York. Like, I don't know what that means exactly. So that's why it's so important to have somebody that knows all those rules that can help you with that. So in no way am I trying to say that I'm like a financial professional. I'm just trying to give you some tools that you can use to help lower your taxable income, which can help you gain more income on the side so that you can start doing things more, living your best life, traveling the world, etc. So this is all of our preparation for when we do retire, because, you know, as we get older, we're always thinking about, oh, can we afford livable rent? Can we afford, you know, and if you can't afford today's day and age with inflation and working really hard, it's going to be really hard to afford everything when you retire. And that's the big issue. I worked as a New York City lifeguard for 7 summers, and every summer as New York City employee, you pay New York State tax, you pay Medicare, you pay Medicaid, you pay Social Security. And there's a lot of these conversations happening now about, has Social Security died out? Franklin D. Roosevelt, when he signed the bill for Social Security, the intention was, hey, if you retire at the age of, I'm just making this up, 60, and you're probably not expected to live until 70 anyway, so that's like 10 years, right? So they were basically betting that you weren't going to live long enough to get enough of those payments. But now people are actually living past 80. They're living very old, where there's now this Social Security bubble where there's not enough funds from people from our working class working to support that. So it's also like, there's a lot of debates where if people are freelancers, if people are independent contractors, they're not necessarily paying that Social Security tax because they don't need it. And there's a lot of those conversations happening where I've been contributing for Social Security since I started working. The issue is that when it's my turn to receive that money, are there enough people? So that's another issue. People aren't having kids as young as when my parents had kids when they were like in their 20s. People aren't having kids until they're 30. So you're thinking about a generation gap, or there's just the population is dwindling a little bit where people aren't having like 4 or 5 kids anymore. Everything's so expensive. People are having 1 kid, 2 kids. People aren't having kids. So there's a lot of debate that's going on about that. Sorry that was very long. Right now I'm at 30 minutes, I'm probably gonna cut it down to like 20, but if you have any questions about taxes, about income, about lowering your taxable income, about a side hustle, about any questions, I'm gonna put the information for the accountant that I use below. It just makes it so much easier that I have somebody that knows me, knows my finances, has done multiple tax seasons with me, so kind of doesn't have to now start from the bottom, start from scratch. That is it. I don't want to go on a tangent anymore. But if you guys have any questions, feel free to please let me know. I'll put my accountant's information below and all those tax informations as well. All right. Thanks so much and bye.